"It is finished," she cried. "What I want for you tonight, for all of us tonight when we leave here, is to have something else in our mind that Jesus accomplished, along with having died for our sins." That's the right answer, and it's right that we would think of that when considering or asked, why did Jesus die on the cross? If you were to turn to 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, you know, here's the gospel that I gave to you, that Jesus Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And indeed, He did die for our sins, and as Mike said earlier, sins we committed before we knew Him, sins we've committed since we've known Him, sins we will commit, all our sins, when our faith is in Christ, our sins are forgiven. But there's something else that Christ did on the cross, and it has to do with, and you can get at this and understand this when you look at the cross. He was crucified, He was executed by being hung on a wooden beam with a cross member. Now, is that just coincidental? Like, it just so happened to be that that's how Romans executed people? And so, since they were the ones in charge and it was time for Jesus to give up His life, that's how it happened? And it could have just as well been anything else that might have been used. You know, no firing squad because there's no guns, but, you know, a spear squad or the sword or a guillotine. Could it have just been anything else, and it just so happens that it's a cross, and it really doesn't matter what it is? No, it matters what it is. It had to be lifted up on a wooden beam or thing. Now, it could have been just a single post. It wasn't, but it could have been. It could have been an X. It wasn't. It was what we call a cross, the shape of a cross. The issue is not the shape of it, but that it was wooden. And He died up on that wooden thing and hung there dead. I'm going to read through a couple different passages throughout Scripture. You're welcome to join me or just listen. And then I'll come to my point, and it'll be that simple. But I'm going to start in Deuteronomy chapter 21. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, Moses is with the Israelites, the younger Israelites, because the older ones died off in the wilderness wanderings. He's with them on the verge of entering the promised land. And in Deuteronomy, he goes through the law again for this younger generation that have made it through the wanderings, because when the older ones heard back the report from the scouts, there were really tall guys in the promised land, they decided they weren't going to go in. Only Joshua and Caleb said, "No, we should go in." But they said they weren't going to go in. And so the Lord says, "Okay, you thought you were going to die out here? Well, guess what? Now you're going to die out here." And the younger ones, who outlive the older ones, they get this law delivered to them. And in chapter 21 of Deuteronomy, there's a couple of interesting verses. Coming after stuff about a rebellious son, and before various laws about you shall not see your brother's ox or his sheep going astray and ignore them. That's 22:1. But in 21, 22, and 23, we have this. "And if a man has committed a crime punishable by death, and he is put to death, and you hang him on a tree, his body shall not remain all night on the tree, but you shall bury him the same day. For a hanged man is cursed by God. You shall not defile your land that the Lord your God is giving you for inheritance." So here we have the law. And in the law it says, not if someone is stoned, they're cursed. Not if someone is driven through with a sword, they're cursed. Not if someone takes a spear, they're cursed. But if someone is hung on a tree, they are cursed by God. Well, you jump over a few pages to Joshua chapter 10. The younger ones now grown up, Joshua's a good clip older, but the Lord's got him pretty spry. And he leads them into the promised land. And in Joshua chapter 10, they fight against the Amorite kings. And they've captured five kings and they put them in a cave. And in Joshua 10:22, it says, "Then Joshua said, 'Open the mouth of the cave and bring those five kings out to me from the cave.' And they did so, and brought those five kings out to him from the cave. The king of Jerusalem," that's not Jewish Jerusalem, that's Jerusalem of the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, it's the promised land before Israel controlled it. "The king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, and king of Eglon. And when they brought those kings out to Joshua, Joshua summoned all the men of Israel and said to the chiefs of the men of war who had gone with him, 'Come near, put your feet on the necks of these kings.' Then they came near and put their feet on their necks. And Joshua said to them, 'Do not be afraid or dismayed. Be strong and courageous, for thus the Lord will do to all your enemies against whom you fight.' And afterwards Joshua struck them and put them to death, and he hanged them on five trees. And they hung on the trees until evening, the time of going down the sun, Joshua commanded, and they took them down from the trees and threw them into the cave where they had hidden themselves, and they set large stones against the mouth of the cave, which remains to this day." So you follow the sequence of events here. They're captured. There's a little show of putting everyone puts their feet on the neck to say, "Don't be afraid of them. This is what the Lord's going to do to all your enemies." And Joshua strikes them and puts them to death. And then they go through the effort of hanging them on a tree. And then they go through the effort of, not much longer later, taking all five of them down because the sun was setting. Why do they do that? Because of the law. It's a symbol. These men are cursed under God's judgment. So they get hung on those trees, but take them down before the evening, before the sun sets, because a cursed person on a tree is cursed by God. Take them down unless you defile the land. There's the background. There's the context. There you understand what it means. And the symbol that's there in those five kings. Cursed by God, under God's judgment. We'll now jump to the New Testament if you're flipping along and following along, and turn to Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, Peter they get arrested again, and they're getting warned and such. But I just want to pick up in verse 27. I don't usually jump in the middle of a context, but I'm going to tonight. In verse 27, "And when they had brought them," so the high priest and all those who had them arrested, brought them, Peter, the apostles that were arrested, had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, "We strictly charged you not to teach in this name. Yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood upon us." So they've already been warned, told, "Don't preach the resurrection in this man's name. Stop talking about this man. Just stop." But they don't stop. And the high priest probably pulling out their hair. "What are we going to do with you guys?" And here's Peter's response, verse 29. "But Peter and the apostles answered, 'We must obey God rather than man. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree.'" Peter calls the cross a tree. Now, was it a tree? No. But it was wood. Where do you get wood? From a tree. Peter recognized that he was hung on a tree. Considered cursed by man. Considered guilty by man. It says in verse 31, "God exalted him at his right hand, and as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." You hung him, you killed him, you put him on a tree. Now turn one more passage to our hopefully familiar at this point letter of Galatians. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. As you turn to Galatians chapter 3, just listen to those words again. Whom you killed by hanging him on a tree, God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Galatians chapter 2, chapter 3, verse 10. For all who rely on works of the law are under a curse. You don't need to be hung on a tree to be under a curse. You just need to be under the law and rely on the law. For it is written, cursed be everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law and do them. That also is coming from Deuteronomy chapter 27. Now it is evident that no one is justified before God by the law, for the righteous shall live by faith. Verse 12, but the law is not of faith, rather the one who does them shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Now there is the mention of redeemed there in verse 13. But you'll notice there's not the mention of forgiveness of sins in this passage. That's not because there isn't forgiveness of sins. Absolutely, there is forgiveness of sins. But look at where this passage ends. This passage ends with receiving the promised Holy Spirit. Where does Peter end? He says, you hung him on a tree, God exalts him, he is Savior, forgiveness of sins, we're witnesses to this, so is the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to those who obey him. He ends on the same note, Holy Spirit. What Paul shows us here in Galatians is that when Christ died on the cross, it had to be a cross. It had to be a wooden structure used to hang someone up to shame them and show that they are cursed and under judgment. And it had to be that because Jesus wasn't only dying for our sins in terms of paying our price by taking a death that we should have taken, but he does it on a cross so that he can fulfill the law and he can become accursed for those of us who are actually accursed. Because we are the accursed ones. You notice Peter in our passage from Mark called down curses upon himself. You're already cursed, Peter. Until that tomb is empty and your faith is in Christ, you're cursed. His faith is actually already in Christ, so he just didn't understand it all yet. He didn't understand it then, but he understood it after the Holy Spirit came. We're absolutely right, and of course it's because it's scriptural, it's biblical to think Jesus died on the cross and he paid for my sins. He died a death I should have died. I deserve death, he took it. He took the wrath of God, what I deserve, God's righteous punishment. Jesus took it. But he was also specifically dying on a cross in order to free us, not just from the guilt of our sins and the penalty for our sins, but from the control of sin over us. Cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of law. We're under a curse. Later on in that same chapter, it says in verse 22, the Scripture imprisoned everyone under sin so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. You're imprisoned because of the law. Verse 23, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. We're imprisoned. And we're not just let out of prison in the sense that our debt is paid. We're no longer guilty. We're free from having to pay that debt. We're also let out of prison through faith in Christ because we are free from the dominion, the controlling power, the inescapable control of sin in our lives. Specifically because Christ died on a tree or a cross. Fulfilling the law, becoming a curse for us. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. What is that? The promised Spirit. The promised Spirit. It's not just my sins are forgiven because Christ died for me. It is because Christ died on a cross specifically and fulfilled the law and became a curse for us who are actually cursed. I am free from having to obey my sinful desires. So when you realize you've sinned, or you know you're going to sin again before the Lord calls your name, most likely, unless it's within a second, you're right to go, but Christ died on the cross for my sin. But you're also right when you're tempted to sin, when you're about to sin, when you want to sin, when you can taste how sweet it's going to be to do or to say or to think the very thing that is contrary to the nature of God, that you can go to the cross and say Christ became a curse to free me from the curse. To set me free, to liberate me from the inescapable control of sin in my life. See, prior to faith in Christ, it doesn't matter what you do, it's sin. It can be I read recently that the new Apple CEO is giving away like half his fortune, which is like billions of dollars. Great. That's wonderful. But if his faith is in Christ, that's as sin before God. You can help a little old lady cross the road when you've got to get somewhere else and you're running late. And if your faith is in Christ, it's sin before God. I'm quoting from Romans 16. Everything apart from faith is sin. If you don't do those things for the glory of God, giving thanks through Jesus Christ, then you ultimately do it for yourself, so it's sin. Even if it's a good thing for someone else. See, prior to faith in Christ, that's all you can do is sin. But because Christ died on a tree, on a cross, that wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't like God's like, okay, all right, Jesus, my eternal son, now go be a man. You're going to be called Jesus and die, and just do it under the Romans. And who cares how they happen to kill people or execute them? No, it was planned. A strange little law sandwiched there in Deuteronomy 21. Cursed by God is anyone hung on a tree. Think about it. There's commands to stone your rebellious son or the adulterous person. Doesn't say anything about them being cursed if they've been stoned to death. If they're hung on a tree, then they're cursed. Specifically because he died on a cross, a tree, a wooden structure, was hung up there, became a curse for us. We no longer have to obey our selfish, sinful desires. We no longer have to sin. Because it was a cross. It was a cross he went to. Not a guillotine. Not a sword. Not a spear-firing squad. But it was on a tree. Like those five kings, they were killed first and hung on a tree. There's purpose in that. There's a point in that. There's a symbol in that. God is making a point. Christ fulfilled the law. He fulfilled it through obedience, and then he fulfilled it by becoming a curse for those who are actually cursed by hanging on a tree. Not only so that our sins are forgiven, not only that we could be free of our guilt and not have to pay the penalty we deserve to pay, but also so that we would sin no more. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Join me in prayer. Father, I do praise you for your perfect control of everything right down to the last detail. And that when the Israelites were ready to go into the promised land, you reiterated through Moses this law about cursed as anyone who's hung on a tree. So that when the time was right, in the fullness of time, you sent forth your Son, born of a woman under the law, to redeem those under the law, those imprisoned by the law because of our sin. Thank you for making it that clear. May you make it that clear in our thinking day in and day out. Not only so that we would rejoice in Christ and give thanks to you and praise you and exalt Christ for our sins being forgiven, but because in Christ, through faith in Him, by His death on the cross, we get to sin no more. And that we do so, having received the promised blessing of Abraham, the Holy Spirit. And anyone here tonight who has not received the Holy Spirit, who has not turned from their sins and self-reliance and their thinking that they're good enough to faith in Christ, may you have mercy upon them and grant them faith in Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.